Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be here. Looking forward to the show.
Me too. We're going to continue our conversation on the Cosmic Citizen. Boy, we had such a great show last week. We just were yapping and yapping. I know at least I was. It's very exciting. The month of December, we're going to talk about being a Cosmic Citizen. What does that mean? I find that so sort of thrilling. You know, who just wants to be human? I want to be cosmic. So it's been great fun. And the last show, we talked quite a bit about the seven principles that underlie our universe, and we spent a month discussing each one of those for the last 7 months, which brings us now to this sort of culmination. We're really looking at it as a whole and ways in which those principles reveal our cosmic citizenship. So Dorothy, as you mentioned last week, that there are certain rights and responsibilities that go along with being a citizen of any, a citizen of any land or within any certain boundary or periphery or of any whole. Right? I'm struggling trying to put my words around that. But so that leads us to the moral compass. That leads us to right action, because where there is responsibility, you know, we have to have our moral compass set true. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about that today. Dorothy,
I have a couple of quotes to start us off, Steve.
Awesome, thanks.
Okay, so the first one is from Gandhi. He said, "To believe in something and not to live it is dishonest." So this is about keeping true to what it is that we know is ethically correct, morally right. And then the other one is from Barack Obama. He spoke, "Today we are engaged in a deadly global struggle for those who would intimidate, torture, and murder people for exercising the most basic freedoms. If we are to win this struggle and spread those freedoms, we must keep our own moral pointed in a true direction." And
beautiful.
This, you know, we ended the show last time with just talking about mentioning the common good. And one of the issues to me that's important, an important context for our show today, is moving away from individual self-interest, you know, and just what's best for me, and the kind of transactional relationships that we see, unfortunately, modeled for us by some leaders, to really taking interdependence, which we talked about last time, and cooperation seriously, and focusing on the common good, so that we find a meeting ground. And I thought it might be helpful to start our discussion, Steve, with a definition of what a moral compass is. So a moral compass is an internalized set of values and objectives that guide us with regard to ethical behavior and decision-making. So it's our internal guide that leads us towards and results in what we think of as right thought and right action.
Mm-hmm. And Dorothy, could I ask right at the front, I'm going to give you a big question. Do you sense that that is intrinsic in us that values that an ethical moral compass is we are born with that, and then we go astray because of our, you know, our environment, our upbringing, our experience. Do you sense that we are born with our moral compass set true?
Well, that's a really good question. I'm going to answer it in a couple of different ways, Steve. And what I want to do is to answer it in the context of our discussion this month on, you know, in terms of being a cosmic citizen and the fact that we, from a certain perspective, we precipitate into a physical body. You know, we as the soul or as a spiritual being, we precipitate into a physical body, and we need to learn how to manage that physical body and how to interrelate with others using that body. So I would say that on the most essential plane, yes, we do have a moral compass, and those that you know, kind of purposely don't develop it or don't use it will feel some forms of discomfort, you know, as a result of that. Now, that's a theoretical concept, you know. I mean, having values, having objectives, we have to know how to apply those in everyday life. And I think that's part of what we want to focus on today is how do we learn what it means to act on a moral compass? And we learn that usually initially in our families. We learn it from watching role models, which is why our public role models, are the ones that we choose, are so important. We learn from study, from reading. And so one of the challenges is it used to be that part of that learning came from participation in religious institutions that where we find that participation has gone down. So what has replaced that? Where else do we learn how to apply that inner sense, that what I think of as the still small voice, you know,
yes,
that kind of terminology that speaks to us? I think that is born into us, but we can drown it out. We can learn not to listen to it.
Quite easy to do. And
yeah. And so the issue before us is, you know, how is it that we nurture that inner voice, that inner knowing of what is actually the right thing to do? Because I think that if we are self-aware,
yes,
if we are willing to be open to it, that we all do have that voice.
Well, I find what's so inspiring about the many conversations we've had over the last many months, actually over the last couple of years, in terms of we really, you and I on Spirit Fire Radio have been talking about cosmic citizenship really week in and week out, is that what came to the forefront of you reading the two quotes to me was when I heard you talk about Mahatma Gandhi talking about to be dishonest, right, to live dishonestly. It made me think of the truth. And then I had that word truth in my mind. And then you said, Barack Obama said about the moral compass pointing in a true direction. So there's something about truth and freedom. And I keep thinking of that quote that the truth shall set you free. You know,
mm-hmm,
and so freedom is really quite a cosmic objective, right? And truth is really this responsibility for us to understand certain truths. And I think that I know I'm taking this way out, like broad, and we'll bring it right back to our moral compass. But I just appreciate that there is also an aspect of really pondering these principles that we have been talking about and the ways in which they can assist us in shaping that moral compass and in getting in touch with that innate direction which leads us into the true direction of a pointed in that direction, that it is innate in us, and that just coming to understand these principles and learning to ponder them and live them in a way, that it does help support that moral compass in and of itself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I just wanted to comment that many people are familiar with Gandhi, his life, the work that he did, the role that he played. Perhaps fewer are aware of the details of Nelson Mandela's life, the years that he spent in prison. There are celebrations going on right now, celebrations of his life. Someone that I think is not as well known, but that I grew up knowing about, was Nehru, the first prime minister of India. And he, along with Gandhi and others, took part in the civil disobedience that helped to lead to India's independence. And he himself was jailed for that. And he wrote a number of pieces from prison that reflect this very clear sense of what one must do and how one must stand up and be counted in the face of harm that's being done. And I wish that more people were familiar with him and his life, because I think he's another one of those very principled people who show us that the truth shall set you free. It may not be a physical freedom, but internally it does set you free.
Yeah, and this idea of harmlessness, which both of them held so true to their life's mission, that was mm-hmm. civil disobedience. Mm-hmm. And we saw that in Martin Luther King and great civil rights leaders helping mm-hmm. us all really point our moral compass in a true direction, that this idea of freedom, again, there it comes back, around, but it is really dedicating your life to harmlessness mm-hmm. in every way. In bringing forward dignity. We talked about human rights on the last show, and dignity you mentioned as the very first, of the UN human rights, that we all have the right to a dignified life. How do we support that, and how do we look out to the world and act so that those who are not supporting that will stop, see the light and correct their ways. Dorothy, we're already, I've just talked us right into our first break. So
okay.
Listeners, we will be back after these words.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. And this is a tip with purpose. Being wrong or making mistakes is human. What have you learned from it? Start laughing about the silly things you did. Yeah, laugh about it. Being happy is more important than being always right. Start listening to your feedback. Be willing to redefine yourself every day. Communication with yourself and others who already are successful in their lives. Stay balanced. And when you fall off the wagon, don't dwell on it. Just hop back on. Forgive yourself. Admit what you did. Move on and smile. I hope this tip helps you. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness. in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Welcome back, listeners. We're going to continue the conversation on cosmic relations and our moral compass. Dorothy, do you want to pick up where we left off?
Sure. You were mentioning the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which was one of the first documents developed after the Second World War to put in writing understandings that nations held in common. So trying to come to a common value system. And you mentioned dignity, respect, and equal in rights. Those are three core values that are reflected there. What's interesting to me is we have two other models, very similar, but I think also, you know, that we can look to for anchoring our value system. One comes from the Ageless Wisdom, where the characteristics of a disciple or of somebody who has a spiritual practice are described as being harmlessness, which we've mentioned already, and then, interestingly enough, a willingness to let others serve as seems best to them. So instead of criticizing them and saying there's only one right way, recognizing that there actually is not one right way to live out these values. And then third is joy, as opposed to pain and suffering. And so I think that that's interesting also to think about. If we think about focusing on how we generate joy for ourselves and others every minute of every day, wouldn't we live a bit differently?
Yeah. And ways in which we impede upon others' joys, you know.
That's right.
I mean, and they can be very small ways, you know, that will certainly change your day, to look for ways to allow others the joy that is their birthright and to even maybe help generate that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
not a small day you've got there.
Yeah. And then on another show, we talked about the three gates. And I thought this is particularly in relation to right speech, but is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Again, I think these are foundational for a moral compass, is, you know, to be considering those. So I think, looping back to your original question, I think that we do have that sense. It's like an intuition of that I've used the language, a still small voice. We need to then link it to actual values and actual practices. And that's what developing and exercising a moral compass is all about.
Mm. You know, in your book, you do such a wonderful job it's a trilogy of books, and I don't even remember which one, but you do such a wonderful job at looking at various spiritual practices and that they all have this underlying principle that is really the bedrock of the moral compass, I find, which is when we harm another, we harm ourselves. It shows mm-hmm. up in every spiritual tradition, so many that I didn't even know that you list so beautifully in ways that is scripture, that, you know, do unto another as you would do unto yourself. It's in every single religious practice. So I think that is, right there is one of the foundational sort of contemplations. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Steve. That what you're referring to is the second volume that I wrote, Positive Harmlessness in Practice. And, you know, we have this sense of what it is that is true for all of us, and what we need to find is ways of expressing that are not specific to particular religions or particular political beliefs or particular cultures. There's nothing wrong with having many different ways of expressing something, but we need to be able to come back to those core values. Or, for example, the slogan of Indonesia, which I love, you know, unity in diversity. So we respect the diversity, but we treasure the unity.
Well, and also harm seems to come in. Harm comes in so many forms, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so it really, I'm wondering if you would consider harm synonymous with a lack of morality, even an immorality.
Well, absolutely, because as long as we're functioning in line with a moral compass, it's not possible for us to harm someone.
Yes, well put, indeed. I just want to bring up, just because it's just the last couple weeks, there was an NFL player who was dismissed from the Kansas City Chiefs because a video emerged of him in an argument with a woman and she falls on the ground. And it's just shocking. Actually, I didn't watch it because I've learned to not ever watch these things. But at some point, he actually kicks this woman, and he's huge. He's a football player. Very shocking. And he didn't tell the team that this happened. He lied about it. And then the video comes out. And of course, we're seeing ourselves. You know, it seems as if social media, this 24-hour news cycle, everything being recorded is allowing us an eye onto ourselves. And he even says, you know, when I saw myself do that, I couldn't believe that was me. And he was let go of the team, and he says that was right to do. I didn't tell the truth. He apologized to his family, to this person, to everybody, basically saying he's really disappointed and embarrassed in himself, and he's taking action to learn from this and to just become a better human being. And so, you know, I wonder if we are at this point. It seems we're at this breaking point, or that we're at a point, especially with the nature of media, that we are really able to take a good, hard look at ourselves and the ways in which we harm one another without even recognizing it. We don't even see it until it's actually, you know, well, really until we're caught in it, or we see it for ourselves. I think of the Me Too movement, you know, where we're actually really now starting to seem to hold people accountable. So may it be so that we're taking a real hard look at the ways in which we harm ourselves, harm one another, and in turn are really harming ourselves. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, if we think about this in the context of a moral compass, you know, the way that we lose that compass is becoming numb to the consequences, you know, not recognizing what it is that we're really doing, the harm that we are really doing to others. And so if you step back from that a moment, Steve, you know, just think of that sentence. We become numb. That is harm to ourselves.
Yes.
Just that.
Yeah.
As well as the kind of coarseness that we start to build into ourselves if we allow ourselves to harm others, especially if we allow that to happen repeatedly.
Yes. Well, and what struck out, the reason I brought that NFL thing up, was this person, you could tell, really saw himself as only a football player. And that meant I behave, I act a certain way. It was very dualistic in a way of not seeing himself as fuller or complex, or, you know, or actually even needing to be responsible for his actions, that they affect other people. It's this looking at the world as only from the NFL star perspective. And what I wondered, and what I just was in a space watching a panel talk about it, which I'm normally not watching sports or even sports discussions, but they were talking about, can this person be rehabilitated, or can they actually learn from this and, become not only the football player, but the human being who is a football player. Mm-hmm. And they put it that way. And I went, wow, now that's progress, not only just criticizing and making drama about it, but actually posing that question, can he move beyond being just the football player who's got this way of being, but a human being that is also a football player? So, mm-hmm. We've got to find that. We've got to expand and include this idea of who we are and the repercussions of our actions as a human, a cosmic citizen, as an individual on every level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and also, the idea that we learn from experience, which is actually, the way that we grow is we learn from experience. We can take negative lessons or positive lessons from the past. But I don't know about you, but I know that there are certain ways of behaving that I believe, never be able to do again because I really felt the enormity of what I had done to another person.
Yes.
In that moment.
And
it sounds like he was having that kind of moment as well.
And wouldn't you say when you personally experience that you sort of see, you're observing yourself, it's almost from a cosmic perspective, aligned with those principles and saying, that was really off. You really mm-hmm. missed the mark here, that there are repercussions on this earth plane experience that, you are mm-hmm. harming another and you are out of line with universal law, with universal principle. Mm-hmm. And it's, we've got to get to this point of having this perspective from top looking down as the observer. Mm-hmm. That really is the perspective of the soul, right? I mean, that is able to see yourself from a perspective that can, from that higher perspective, act mm-hmm. and make changes so that you can grow and evolve. Dorothy, we're already at another break. So let's continue the conversation in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. My goal is to help you to reach your goal. And this is a tip with purpose. Everybody wants it and nobody has enough of it. But it comes to a point that you have to tell yourself, I can get more. I want more. I deserve more. I'm talking about money. More money, more money, more money. That's what people want. But what has to be done? Your thoughts have to change, that you can allow yourself to tell yourself, I have money and I want more money. How much money? What is it? Put it out there. Write it down. What would you do with more money? How would you feel to have more money? I hope this tip helps you going through the day today. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com. Welcome back, listeners. Before we continue our conversation, perhaps Dorothy and I could say a few words about our organizations. Spirit Fire Radio is a collaborative effort between Spirit Fire and the School for Esoteric Studies. Dorothy, a few words about the School for Esoteric Studies.
Sure. I'll just mention that we're both educational nonprofits, and the focus of the School for Esoteric Studies is on providing training to persons who have a spiritual practice that they want to deepen. And you can find out more about how to engage with us as a student at esotericstudies.net. We do more than just individual study. However, we have a number of group initiatives, and one of the ones that we have just launched is, you can see in a white paper on our website at esotericstudies.net. It's called Inclusive Social Action. And Steve, it's very relevant to what we're talking about right now. It's about how, you know, really drilling down on how it is that we can say, this is not okay when harm is happening, without increasing divisiveness, which is, I think, a real challenge. So if you are interested in collaborating with us, because we are always looking for other like-minded organizations to collaborate with, or if you are interested in engaging in this dialogue with us about inclusive social action, please check us out at esotericstudies.net and get in touch with us.
Beautiful. And Spirit Fire, an educational nonprofit as well. Our mission is to educate people on the importance of consciousness and find ways, show them ways to bring that spirituality, that consciousness into their everyday life. We do that primarily through meditation. We've got our own meditation practice called the Practice of Living Awareness. It's an online practice, constantly offering new meditations weekly. We've got a 14-week program that repeats itself. And we've got a meditation center in Western Massachusetts. And so you can find out more about our meditation practice, about our online classes, all consciousness-based classes, and more about us as an organization at spiritfire.com. And yes, we are thrilled to be doing Spirit Fire Radio with the School for Esoteric Studies. It's been and will continue to be certainly a delight. So Dorothy, one thing I was wanting to ask you, I just wanted your take, when do we lose our moral compass? You know, I had a situation last week where in the States, this is the time when we renew our health insurance. And if you are a single payer, you get to choose a new plan if you don't like the one you've got now. And goodness gracious, my partner and I just went through that whole process. And I have to say, it was horrifying and so disheartening and dehumanizing and difficult and frustrating and generated such a sense of hopelessness. I mean, we both left this process just feeling violated and that life is just so unfair. And do you know what I noticed as I was contemplating the moral compass? Our moral compass just went right out the window. I mean, I really thought I see why people just go you know, I won't even mention it, go ballistic, right? Either verbally or in their mind, or physically. You know, we left that situation just thinking life is so unfair. I feel so trapped. And I noticed my moral compass was just, I had to work really hard. I had to really go meditate. I had to align. I had to go take a walk. I had to go be out in nature. You know, all these things that we talk about affirming, you know, our sense of interconnectedness and interdependence. But boy, for a moment there, if I didn't have these practices, you know, really that I know I can take refuge in, I think who knows, would my moral compass ever come back? I just wondered how you thought, where you, you know, sent, you know, and we got it all together. It will be fine. It will work out. But it's like sticker shock and process of so just being so frustrated. So what do you think, you know, what causes us in that instance, which to us is actually quite small? It feels very large in the big picture, but it will work itself out. But for others, you know, it's quite large. So what do you think causes us to lose that moral compass?
Well, I think, one of the things that you point to is the importance of practice. We lose it in part through lack of practice, through lack of conscious application. And I think, you know, brings us back to something that we said, you know, initially, a moral compass is an internal guide, but it requires self-awareness and discipline and continuous application. And when we are not aware of that, when we are not consciously applying it, then yes, we can slip, you know, into behaviors that we may look back on with horror, you know, or at least concern.
Or say that me, you know, you look at yourself and you say, that just wasn't me, you know, that wasn't me, what happened, right? Yeah.
But that self-awareness is critical.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's what helps to strengthen the moral compass, is recognizing what is and is not you. You know, when you are acting in alignment with your values. And one of the things that can throw us off also is wanting to please others, wanting a group to think well of us, and not choosing our groups carefully. And that the group and the group action, I mean, we know that groups will often act in harmful ways that individuals within the group would not have chosen to do, but they just kind of go along with it. And I think this may be an odd reference to some people, but the Nuremberg principles that were developed after the Second World War was really the first time that the human family got together and said, what is it that we believe? What is it that we want to hold ourselves accountable to? And one of the things that came up in those Nuremberg trials, especially in relation to what had happened in the concentration camps, was that there were people who believed that they had behaved ethically because they followed orders. And one of the principles that was developed, principle 4, was just following orders is not an acceptable excuse. We have to think for ourselves. We have to, I mean, there are certain times when we say, yes, you know, I am not going to be disruptive. I agree that I will act. And this is something that persons, for example, in military groups, you know, have to deal with in terms of what is ethically appropriate. But the main thing is that complicity, and this is the seventh principle that was agreed on, complicity in an unethical or harmful behavior is itself a crime. So we do have to be thinking of, it, you know, what is the common good? What is it that we're committed to? And it's like a muscle that we have to keep exercising all the time in order for us to stay true or have our moral compass pointed in the true direction, as Obama said.
Yeah, you know, Tim and I just watched a movie called Final Solution, which was about Adolf Eichmann, who was basically apprehended in Argentina and taken back to Jerusalem to be tried. And, you know, there was a moment where they basically kidnap him and they're going to smuggle him out and take him back to Jerusalem. And he's so worried about his family. And he just says, please tell me my family is safe. Please tell me my family is safe. And he has this moment of realizing how many families, you know, under his watch were just destroyed, decimated. And you realize that at that moment, he realized, you know, I've done wrong. I have to pay the price. And very powerful movie. And so interesting that, yes, that you brought that up, because we see that today where we get in a group and we are a part of groupthink. And it's almost as if we lose ourselves and our mind, certain, you know, illusions take over and sort of distorted, a distorted view or even we identify with a group. And so our identity is obscured. And then we may act in a way that's not aligned with who we truly are, for sure. Mm-hmm. Social media, I think, has an influence on that as well. You know, we will sort of find ourselves in a group that may not truly be aligned, and so easy to be critical and harm in ways that we wouldn't really acknowledge or see as harm, but really is doing quite a bit of damage.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, one of the ways that, to me, one of the important issues around self-care is to pay attention to who it is that we spend time with, you know, yeah, which groups we choose to align ourselves with. And it's just like, I mean, you know, I've said this before, we need to be aware of what we are putting into our minds. You know, you referenced not watching, you know, something. And to me, in terms of what I read for pleasure, you know, just yes, casual reading, what I found is that I now gravitate to novels that have an ethical theme in them, you know, an ethical dilemma, so that I'm constantly thinking about that.
And that's a choice. I mean, that is a level of maturity of saying, I will not participate in this, right? If I'm with a group and they're all going to watch a very violent or scary movie, I will say, you know, this isn't for me. And having that resolve to mm-hmm, move yourself from that situation, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, also I think it's not only the ways in which, for instance, the people we're around affect us, but I think it's also an energetic field can affect us. And we need to be really aware of that. I mean, did you hear that for the first time, the life expectancy of the U.S. dropped as a result of suicide and addiction rates being at an all-time high? So when we see that there's addiction rampant, depression, anxiety, in terms of like ADD, OCD, compulsive behaviors, all of those, I think, permeate, you know? So we really have to be aware of the effects of these ways in which our mind gets distorted, you know, and the ways in which that can affect ourselves and the ways in which we're affecting others. Because, you know, that's a group problem, you know, those ways in which our mind becomes disillusioned, that I find is really a part of a group field that we need to be aware of, and in helping each other and in helping ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that hope is such a very important aspect of it, that when we don't see a lot of options, you know, we tend to get contracted, and that's also when the moral compass seems to go a little bit haywire. So keeping that hope alive. Dorothy, we're already in another break, so we'll continue the discussion.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you. Discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion, Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Practice living in wholeness with the Body Tune-Up. 6 classes for $89 designed for radical self-healing and self-regeneration. Heal the deepest root of any challenge. The mental body was programmed in negativity, not good enough. Separate from source, you're too much, you'll never make it. The emotional body holds all the pain and trauma of emotional suppression, all the pain from this life and life's past. The spiritual body is the place you connect with your higher power, your higher self, with the image and likeness of the One. The physical body houses and expresses the other three bodies every day. Go to CorneliaStephanie.com. Evolve, become a practitioner. We need to heal, integrate, and bring into wholeness and harmony the physical body, addressing all the other bodies in order to live in our true, authentic nature.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Welcome back, listeners. We're going to continue our conversation on being a cosmic citizen, which has got a lot to do with your moral compass, with being an upright citizen, right, Dorothy? So how do we strengthen that? How do we become a moral cosmic citizen, strengthening that moral compass?
Well, I'd like to just comment, actually, Steve, as we get into this discussion, that one of the reasons I think why this conversation is so important is because oftentimes we're in situations where we don't have a lot of time for critical evaluation. You know, we can't say, I wonder what is the best thing to do. I'm going to talk with 3 or 4 friends and try to figure this out. I mean, sometimes we do have that luxury, but I would label it a luxury. And so ethical or moral issues come up in contexts often where we have to act immediately. We have to act reflexively. And so strengthening the moral compass is about building in the kind of response as our go-to response, if you will, as our automatic response, so that that's the way that we will always do it. And we've touched on, I think, some of the ways that we do this already, because a lot of it is practice. You know, what is it, you know, if you think about like learning a sport or learning any other skill, the behavior that you want to exhibit is the one that you practice over and over and over and over and over again until when you're in that situation, you know, if you're baseball, the ball's coming towards you, you swing, your muscles know exactly how they're supposed to align themselves so that you will hit the ball in the way in which you want to. So it's that same kind of practice to me with regard to a moral compass. There are many small decisions that we make where we might think, well, it doesn't really matter what we do. You know, nobody's going to see, nobody's going to know. But every single action that we take that could have repercussions, will have repercussions for us at least in terms of what it is we are programming ourselves or drilling ourselves into doing habitually.
Well, I appreciate that you talked about that sort of reflexive response, because I think, oh, nobody will notice. That really is the result of not actually taking a good look at yourself with care, you know, with care, mm-hmm. and saying, I will ponder those actions. I will ponder the repercussions. I will actually, expand, the experience to not just the ways in which I experienced and I received from, you know, whatever my choice was or my action was, but how did it affect others? And that really does take time. That takes time to reflect. It takes time to acknowledge and actually look back at a whole series of actions and a whole series of choices. And how did that create the world, create my own personal world and my own reality, but how has that created who I am? You know, it's that, mm-hmm. I also think of that, be the change you'd like to see. That mm-hmm. am I living the life that I can talk about the world I want to see, but am I living that as a way of generating mm-hmm. that and creating it? And it does take that time for pondering, time for reflecting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the School for Esoteric Studies curriculum, one of the practices that we ask students to do, we call the evening review. And that is, to consciously stop and reflect on the day, and using the terminology of this particular radio show, where were we on in terms of our moral compass, and what could we have done differently?
Yeah.
So that kind of daily practice, I think, is a critical component in strengthening our moral compass.
And not only getting to know yourself, but also into creating a self that you would like to experience the world through, as this vessel that is, to make it cosmic, that is cosmic consciousness, really acting and living through this human body and this human experience. So, how do my choices help create that experience?
Well, and I think I've shared this before with our audience. But one of the things that I really appreciate from my parents when I was young was that when some kind of significant event would occur, I mean significant in the life of an 8 or 9 or 10-year-old, the conversation that they would have with me is, what were some other options? What were some other ways that you could behave in that situation? And when I think back on that, it did a couple of things. One was it let me know, first of all, that there are options and that there's not necessarily one right way of doing things. And it gave me practice in thinking about other ways that I might choose to behave ahead of time, because it's all, to me, all about building in the reflex, strengthening the muscle, so that when we're in the situation where we have to react immediately, the option that we draw on is one that is going to be ethical, is going to be moral, is going to be in line with our moral compass.
Nice. Yes. It's necessary to have a strong sense of self-worth, which I'm hearing come through, as you talk about the ways in which your parents guided you. It helped build a strong inner you that you then can default to. There's a quote by the Buddha that I read today, and I just clipped it. It says, "Be a light unto yourself, be your own confidence, hold to the truth within." So it's that, as we develop a strong sense of self and of self-worth, then we become a light unto ourselves, and that light then reveals the truth, and then we can be that with others. Mm-hmm. I think that's also very important, is to, as you said earlier about wanting to please others or about the group, where it's not about ourselves but fitting in with the group or pleasing another, that we've got to really develop this strong sense of of our own values, of our own self-worth, and of our own sense of self, so that that can be a very true and clear guide.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I want to link this back to the social media reference that we made, because, and I think there's several links here. One of the things, you know, as I reflect on my life, of course, when I was young, we didn't have the kind of social media environment that we have now. And a lot of my learning took place in conversation with people. And the one of the things that, in looking back, that I realized that I did that I think was very important was I evaluated the people that I was having conversation with. So I had the opportunity to meet some people that I would consider to be really important role models. Some of our audience may know I grew up in India. I had the experience in our home of meeting Sikhs and Hindus and Christians and Buddhists. Some quite, you know, what you might think of as ordinary people, but others that they may have seemed ordinary, but I could sense immediately were moral leaders, if you will, ethical leaders, you know, people who really had that spiritual centeredness that I wanted to listen to very carefully or ask questions of, because I knew I would learn truths that were going to be important to my life. And I had the honor and privilege as one of those people of meeting the Dalai Lama when he first fled from Tibet into India in exile. Just an amazing, energetic experience. So it's not just having the conversations, it's choosing the people that you listen to, that you pay attention to. And
that you spend
all
your
too time often
with.
I'm
right?
Sorry?
And spend your time
all too often on we're talking over each other, Steve. You
sorry.
Want to go ahead.
No, go. We're gonna wrap the show up. So you go on.
Okay. So I think one of the challenges in social media is that you can have a group conversation, but who are the people in the group? You know, are they the kind of person that I described? Or is it a group that is just reinforcing a sense of self-interest and look at me and this is what I've accomplished? So I think we need to be very, very careful about who we choose as our reference point, and that's part of strengthening our moral compass.
Mm, well said. And where I was bringing that around to is that service has so much to do, being of service has so much to do with that actual interaction with other beings, you know, that it's not only on the mental plane, as you see with social media, that you're actually out there with people doing something, helping. And I know, you know, for both of our organizations, study, you know, which is one thing we've talked about, is just learning, knowing yourself, studying yourself, but also studying the world at large, and meditation and service as being three very important components to building character and moral compass. Dorothy, we're at the end of the show. I apologize for talking over, trying to get it all in one show, right? So much to talk about. So we're going to continue this conversation for the rest of the month. And next week, we're going to talk about compassion and its relationship to the cosmic citizen. So we hope you'll join us. Thanks, Dorothy. And thanks, listeners.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.